In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Prophets are rarely attractive, gently spoken people. They're usually loud, strange, annoying, odd people. And we get a glimpse of that when we hear in Mark's account this morning of John the Baptist's ranting on the banks of the Jordan. Mark thought it was important enough in his very brief gospel to note that John wore strange clothes, an animal skin bound together with a strap of leather. And his diet was even stranger, wild honey, locusts. Not our choice of a good meal. No doubt he smelled bad, living as he did in the wilderness, and his proclamations were wild. Now I'll bet he was pretty wild as well. The ancient Orthodox icons of John the Baptist show him with dreadlocks and dirty, rough hands. So my question today is, why would anybody pay attention to a man who looked like that? One reason might be that the people were hungry for some proclamation. As I shared with you last week, the people of Israel were sorely oppressed. Life was hard and there was no end in sight. They were in dire need of the very thing that Isaiah talks about in this morning's reading from the Old Testament. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. God's people, hungry for relief from oppression, looking for that something or someone that would bring them relief. So what did God send them? This man John, who looked and smoked and spoke and smelled like that person that you don't want to sit next to on the bus or the train. No one would mistake him for our usual sense of what a divine messenger is supposed to look like. We tend to think of them in shiny white garments, glowing with good health. But these were unusual times, so an unusual messenger might be just what was needed to get people's attention. And get their attention, he certainly did. People flocked from all around to hear what he had to say and to be baptized by him in the Jordan River. They were hungry for what he offered them, even if they didn't completely understand it. If they hadn't been hurting so badly, so tired, so despairing, they mightn't have come out to hear him. But perhaps this strange man had something to help them, to give them some hope again. Wasn't he just like the old prophets had foretold? Wasn't he the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight? Perhaps it takes a smelly, odd, screaming man to get the word out. Fix things up here. Get ready. Prepare the way of the Lord. Perhaps it takes a people who are so hungry for something to relieve their pain that they'll accept the message from a more than a little frightening prophet. How about us? Would we listen to him? Would we allow such a man to escort us into the river, to press our heads down into that brown and swirling water, to pray over us? My guess is probably not. He'd make us nervous. Our needs, as real as they may seem, as harsh as they are, have not made us desperate enough to take that risk. But let's imagine for a moment that our desire for relief from that which oppresses us gives us the ability to overcome our distaste for this strange man in his strange ways. And let's imagine what it might have felt like. We've come to the riverside to hear this man. We've heard of him back in town. Word has been spreading. People have said that he's crazy, or he's some sort of weird follower of God. Or they say his message is powerful, and they feel changed when they hear him. We're intrigued, so we go walk down there to check it out for ourselves. We wander out to the riverside, out of town, and there he is. He's just as strange as our friends have told us. His eyes glow with the strange fire, and his words fill us with that same glow. And now people are walking into the river where he stands and pours the water over their heads, praying over them. They're weeping, confessing all their wrongdoings. But when they come up from the water, they seem to have the same glow as he does. So we step forward. We think of all the times that we have felt alone and broken, all the times we have wished for something, anything more than this hard life of work and taxes and worry and hurt. All the times we wanted some comfort for something that ails us. All the times we ask God, where are you in the midst of this? Will you help me? And now we're standing on the edge of the water. He turns towards us, this strange man, sensing our hesitation, and he extends his hand. We grab it. It's hard and calloused, but it's clean now from all that time in the river water. We take it, and in that moment he sees what we're thinking, and he wants to clarify what he is doing here, so that we have no confusion in our hearts. I know what you're looking for, and I am not that one. There is another one coming who's more powerful, so powerful that I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. I'm here to prepare you. I'm going to wash you in these waters to wash away your sins. But he's going to wash you with his Spirit, with his Holy Spirit, and you'll be forever cleansed. Not once, but forever. And as we think about these words, we are suddenly pressed down into the water. We should be afraid, but we're not. The warm water swirls above our head. His hand on our head is warm, and the pressure is not frightening, but what? Comforting? Cleansing? Yes, all that and more. And then the pressure stops, and we bob up in the water, and the breeze across the river dries the skin of our faces. We feel like we're glowing, just as he is. We walk up to the shoreline, a little shaky, but happy. Happier than we have felt in a long, long time. Where does this feeling come from? Is it from the man? Is it from the water? Or is it from his message, his promise that someone even greater is coming? He no longer seems strange and frightening to us. Odd, perhaps, but not frightening. And suddenly we feel that warmth again because of the promise that he made. Another one is coming. A powerful one who transforms people through something more than river water. He transforms people through his Holy Spirit. Will that feel as wonderful as this moment in the river just did? All we know is that we can barely wait for this one whom John spoke of. We can barely wait for the way he will make us feel, for the way that he will change us and change the world. Here, now, in the present day, our needs and wants are not for relief from oppression, as the people in John the Baptist's time suffered. Our needs may be for a relief from sadness or a dreadful illness or loneliness or worry over a child or a parent. Our needs may be for an end to war and cruelty, an end to poverty or to the abuse of children. Our needs may be for release from the habits that enslave us. Can we imagine walking into that river water and letting go of these things? Can we imagine the hope reborn in our hearts when we are washed clean of the pain that holds us back? Can we await what we will do when the one who is to come arrives? John the Baptist came to get people ready for that one who is to come. He came to warn and to promise. He came to tell us, not just the people standing in front of him, but all of us, to prepare ourselves, to make the road straight, to make our hearts ready. The one who is to come is on his way. Step into the water to prepare yourself. Let go of the pain and let go of the old ways. Make yourself ready, because things are going to be different when he comes. And we are going to be different too. Amen.